to my little friend.
It's time to get in the zone.
In the zone.
Oh, my God! The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
5 seconds left in the game. You believe in miracles? Yes!
The Zone is sponsored by Helena Agro Enterprises, The Fieldhouse, and Fashion Furniture.
Swung on, that's a deep center field. Bernie Williams goes back and in.
It's Friday. It's the Fieldhouse, and you're in the zone. Here are your hosts, Nick Papagni.
You talking to me?
And Nick Anderson.
You talking to me?
It's time to get in the zone.
What are you worried about? I'm in the zone, man.
You
are in the zone
on a special time, 3:30, 3:30 to 5:30 today, because 5:30 Paul Loeffler comes on, so we're. You could pretty much figure that the Pagmeter Nick Anderson are on 3:30 to 5:30, or 4 to 6, or sometimes maybe not at all.
Until
the
summer.
Giants are on.
Until summer.
And then we'll just have to see what Russ tells us, where do we go. But right. Welcome to the Zone, brought to you by Helena Agri Enterprises, LLC. Farming-wise, we got some sun there, Nicky boy. And what happens now?
It's what they would say, balls to the wall. It's time to go. No excuses now. There's so much activity out there. You can't imagine, and everything coming together all at one time puts a lot of pressure on, all these activities. So generally when you start up, you have a little bit of time in between, like let's say a foliar application, for example, when you're putting on those great nutritional products along with the fungicide, of course, and a possibility of putting out a insecticide on there as well. But your nutrition also in the soil has started, and there's a lot more of that going out. So when you're trying to juggle both, Nick, you can obviously, well, for you, that'd be really difficult. For the growers, they can handle that because they're used to that type of pressure.
Yeah.
But can you imagine for you doing two things at once?
No way. I can't do it. I'm not a multitasker. But so can you tell the almonds and the pistachios and all the things you work with grapes, are they a little late this year with all this rain? Can you tell yet?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say we can tell yet, but, I mean, everything coming in early, the almonds seem to be moving along pretty well. They don't stop, but, we still have to kind of figure on what the yields are going to be on the almonds. You mentioned almonds because pollination.
Quality.
Yeah, pollination's, what kind of a set do you have, and some of that can be determined now, and some of it will be determined a little bit later, but we're not out of the... Not out of the whole deal yet. We've still got through April, and April brings showers and cold temperatures potentially. So usually when you get through April, things kind of are easier to look at.
And if you're a farmer, you have any questions, you call 559-261-9030. Rochelle will answer the phone, the pleasant voice, and she'll take care of you. She'll direct you where to go.
Absolutely. She'll tell you. You tell her where you farm and what you're looking for, and she'll put you in touch with a location that is in your backyard.
And we are here live at the Fieldhouse, Copper and Maple. If you want to head out before a baseball or a softball game tonight, this is a perfect stop. Or afterwards you come in, because this place is going to be jamming around 5 o'clock. So people get off work and before the game, you could just see, it just starts to build in here.
Just when
it's a tsunami.
Just when we're about ready to wrap up, things get going. And there was a lot of a good going on in basketball, when the season was going on. And the football season, obviously everybody coming in for drinks, but baseball, because of the weather being so nice right now and having that Friday night lights, I'll call it lights, for the baseball side of things, things are going pretty well, especially in the track. And then over there, I think Bullard's playing San Joaquin Memorial today, and that should be a good one. That one's firing up right now just because of, I don't believe Bullard has lights over there.
No, they never have, and who knows if they ever will.
That's probably a neighborhood issue back there, I would imagine.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one. Mike Noakes Field over there is a... It's a dynasty field. So many great memories. I got to play there back in the day. In fact, Thursday, I'm going to have him, the legendary Mike Noakes, on the radio and the Rise Show, along with, I don't know, and Matt does it well. Tim Simons is going to join us. Do you know what's great about those two? Tim Simons, the legendary football coach at Clovis, and Mike Noakes, the baseball. They played on the same Little League team. How about that?
That's amazing. So you could probably just give them the mic, Pags, and just sit over in the corner and let them talk, and I'm sure the show would be over before you knew it.
The memories. And also we're going to have Jason Pappy on Thursday and talk about the Fresno Easter Classic. And then the following week we'll have his dad on, who's been at Fresno High for 50 years, Ken Pappy. So it'll be a great week of baseball next week. But we're here at the Fieldhouse, of course, Copper and Maple. Last week, I'm still in love. They brought out the maple, not the maple, what it's called, it's the barbecue pizza with chicken on it. God, it was good.
Oh, you did have that.
Yeah.
We also tried the cauliflower crusted pizza.
Not a cauliflower guy.
Because you want that extra carb. You're not looking for a way out. You're looking for a way in.
My job is to, after I eat, I'm kind of like the car. You drive it. If you go to L.A. in your car, what happens by the time you get to L.A.? You got to get gas. That's what my goal is. I want to eat as much as I can and go take all the gas out and then get hungry again. I know it's probably not a good theory because that's why.
You pulled that one from somewhere, but I like it.
You get what I'm saying.
I get it.
Today on the show, Nickster, we got the Sir Jim Crichelow at about 4 o'clock. We're going to talk to the CIF commissioner. If you have any idea or any questions, you can always message me on PagMeter on Twitter, or you can email me, thepagmeter, or just actually pagmeter@yahoo.com. pagmeter@yahoo.com if you want to know, ask Jim Crichelow some questions.
Well, what kind of questions are you going to ask Jim?
Well, I'll tell you right now in a second. Also, at around right after that, maybe 4:30, we're going to talk with Darren Williams, the head coach of the Central Grizzlies volleyball team. We're going to get an update. How's volleyball going? Boys volleyball is off and running. I know Madera South is on fire. And speaking of volleyball, we got legends in the house. Yeah, there we go. good. Look at them here. Nice seeing you guys. God, I remember when she was just a little tater tot. Look at that. Unbelievable. And now they've all grown. I'm getting old. Clovis North Boys, number one in the PAG meter right now, by the way. So, yeah, they're looking good.
They had a good win last night. We'll talk about that in a bit. But, boy, they took down Buchanan, and Buchanan's always been a perennial power. And
yeah.
It's always good to see those two teams going back and forth. And some of these teams have lost kind of some power, but those two seem to continue to be on top, huh?
I love volleyball because there's so many great rallies. There's power, the serves. It's just a lot of fun. We don't have a team here at Fresno State, but if we did, I think in Fresno State we'd have a lot of local stars. And then about 5 o'clock, we're going to catch up with Matty J because track is ready to explode. We always have the state championships at Buchanan. It's probably the best show I've ever seen when you go to a track when all the state's here. One thing I don't like about track, Nick, and I think I've told you a million times, let's say you're at chance to win the 100. You're in the 100 meters. You're ready. You drive all the way from San Diego. Your mom and dad, grandparents, you got the RV, and you're coming all the way to Buchanan for the 100-meter run. You're in the top, one of the best in the state, and you have one false start. You're done.
Yeah.
Go home.
That's got to be one of the disheartening things I've ever seen before is when you train all year long and your heartbeat just kind of up and you're ready to go and you're just like a thoroughbred wanting to get out of that gate and all it takes is that one little mistake and you're done. And it's horrible to see, but that's the rule. But it is one of those rules that should you give them one chance, Nick, do you think?
Yeah, but if you field a chance.
Okay, so if you gave them that, they know they have one chance. They're probably going to live on the edge.
Yeah, a little guy with the white hat with the red jacket comes over and goes, you're out. And I just don't like it. I think it's the worst rule in all high school sports. The other one that I want to talk about with you today, we always talk about football, baseball, basketball, soccer, the great athletes. Is she going to college? Is he going to college? We got this, we got that. Boy, he's a good athlete. Oh, did you see him last night? You know what? We don't talk about the shortage of officials and referees. I was talking to some the other day, and they are hurting. And so people don't realize, without officials, we're not talking about the people playing in Division I and Division II, and who can they play at the next level, who won, who lost. I'm telling you, I think it's a big shortage, and why is that?
Well, do you think that's something to do with what you and I talk about so much, and that's too much pressure? Is it too much pressure from the stands to deal with that and the money that goes along with it? I mean, these guys are not like making, you know, you got NCAA guys that are women and men that are out running around the countryside reffing those games. I'm talking specifically, you know, basketball and Big 12 football, things like that. They get paid pretty well, and they can deal with some of that crowd noise. But if you're in high school, Nick, are you going to put up with that? Or is that something you want to put up with in week day to day? And I don't know. I know I'd have a hard time with it if I was out there running around and parents were yelling at me, especially the ones that have no idea what they're talking about, and you're trying to push them out of your mind. But you can't let go. They're right. They're 3 feet from you. They're 3 feet from you.
I think if you're a college kid and you want to make some money, I mean, you're going to be making $8 an hour at Wally's Cheeseburger Place, okay? Or do you want to get – $70 for 2 hours and go out there and make some money umpiring sports. I think it's great for college kids, great for gas money, and all of a sudden you feel like you're in the action. It takes common sense. I always say if you have common sense, you're going to be a good official. If you're not, if you have a bad day at work and you think you're going to come out and you know what, I am ready to throw a coach out of the game because I've had a horrible day at work, that's not going to work. But I really think we got to start looking at getting more officials out there because there really is a shortage of every sport.
Well, how do you do that? It goes back to getting people in the stands in Fresno State games. So tell me what the attraction would be for people reffing, umping, doing all
money.
This.
They get pretty good money for the 2 hours that are out there.
So you think they're getting paid good right now?
Well, no. The SGVOA are going to the CIF and asking for some more money, and they're negotiating right now. And I think they've got to sit down and talk because we got to keep the good officials in the game. When you don't talk about the officials after a game, if you and I can come to the fieldhouse and talk about what a great game that was last night, and there's no official talk, that means they did a great job.
Exactly, because they get no love at all. No pat on the back.
Yeah.
I think it'd be great if we could have somebody call in for any ref out there that's out there that's listening right now without saying your name, if that's not something you want to do. Love to talk to you about what your probably the biggest challenge is being out there in the court or the field or the diamond calling games and trying to get an idea from what you go through on a daily basis. That'd be kind of neat to have that conversation.
Yeah, we had Mike Brink on a few weeks ago, 844-940. ESPN is our number. Call Russ in the studio. We'll hook you up. I think a lot of them I talk with, they feel like they're at a game because after the game, they're still in that high, the adrenaline going. They can't get to sleep. And you're going to feel like you're in a game. You go to a track baseball game, and those officials, I know they're having a great time because the crowd's right there. It is like a major league game or something. So, yes, I think good officials are great. Or not great, but they're really, really good when they have common sense. That means less rabbit ears. Unless the coach or whatever is going to get personal with you, sometimes just let it go. And the more you have more rabbit ears, I think the more arguments you're going to have during a game.
Yeah, that's why
we've seen that.
Yeah, I think we talked about it with Mike the other day when we did talk to him. I remember that. And how we thought teachers might be a good call for something like that because they have to deal with kids and deal with people, you know, making comments, talking over them. The other thing, too, you mentioned, which I think also is a good point, a lot of refs have played the game, whatever they're, you know, baseball, whatever they're doing, and they're used to kind of people chirping from the stands. Whether when you're a player, people chirp sometimes on away games, things like that. So you have to push those guys out of your mind, too. So maybe some of those people just kind of going through the flow. That's just what they do, and they don't listen. They don't, even if they do hear them, they kind of smirk about it, and they go along with their business.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think umpires are making more money than coaches. Really look at it.
Maybe we should try that.
I was talking to some football officials last night, and he was saying, I'll do a Thursday game, two on Friday, because they got the JV and the varsity, and then they've got plenty of Saturday games. I could do up to six games on a Saturday if I want. That's pretty good money.
There's a lot of AAU games that go on in the summer. I mean, if you look at, you know, let's say you are a teacher and you want to do something in the summer and two or three hours a day, a week, hours in a day, and a Saturday, a Sunday, these AAU tournaments are every single weekend locally. You could make probably a pretty good penny. Spend your spending money just in one weekend alone for the month.
Yeah, we have Bob Kajanian on sometime as well, and they always have the clinics coming up. So if you are interested, I will get the dates for you. Maybe if Bob's driving around, he could text me when they are. But it's great to go to a clinic and learn and say, you know, what am I getting into? I know baseball. You might have to buy your own gear, but then you start making some good money in baseball. So let's take a break. Again, 4 o'clock, Sir Jim Critchlow will join us. Also, we are live here at the Fieldhouse on a beautiful day, a little breezy, but it is beautiful here in the Valley. And we're going to come back and talk about the great food here at the Fieldhouse on 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
You're in the zone on 940 ESPN, sponsored by Helena Agri Enterprises and the Fieldhouse. Once again, here are your hosts, the Pag Meter and Nick Anderson.
You
are in the zone
on a beautiful Friday afternoon here at the Fieldhouse. It is starting to hop, and I see a lot of people. They got soup going. We got some pizzas going. What do you got going on the plate today? What do we got?
I think I'm going to go. I'm looking at this thing, and I'm staring at it, and I'm like, wow, there's a burger here with stuffed Gouda. You know what stuffed Gouda is?
Oh, it sounds really Gouda.
It's stuffed and it's smoked Gouda. That sounds like a very tasty burger, since we're in a burger generation that's out there. But that is a special. Also, before going to or coming from a baseball game or soccer or anything else that's going on, volleyball, come by the Field House and you'll get 10% off, Nick, on your food if you wear some Spirit gear or your uniform, whatever makes sense for you.
Cheeseburgers I recommend, along with the, prime rib sandwich?
Well,
that's pretty good, too.
Smoked prime rib, but is there ever any place you haven't recommended the cheeseburger?
There's been places. I won't talk about them. This one I will.
We're here
at the Field House. 4 o'clock, Jim Critchlow is going to join us. You can always email the Pack Meter if you have questions. Major League Baseball on the way. Let me just tell you now, Giant fans, it's not going to be pretty this year. The question is, do they finish last? Who's going to finish last, Arizona or San Francisco?
Yeah.
Because it's like Groundhog's Day. It's going to be the same thing. Buster's going to hit about 15 home runs. Brandon Belt can't go to left field. He's going to hit about 280 or about 250 with very little home runs, and he's going to get hurt. It's going to be the same thing again. It's going to be the Colorado Rockies battling the Dodgers, and San Diego will be the sleeper team.
Yeah, it's you know, you and I chatted last night when we were going back and forth on some things, and I said that to you, and you go, I'm thinking about the exact same thing, and I said, I think San Francisco is going to finish last, and I hate saying that, but boy, I mean, if anybody can prove me differently on what they see today, and, you know, they actually played pretty well during the Cactus League during spring training, but, you know, you can't really get a whole lot out of that, Nick. People were playing with your rotations and things that are out there, so... But now it's go time, and, you know, we could be wrong, but when you have the same guys out there, and like you say, that at the age these guys are at, and they're prone to injury and other things that come along with that, it's just going to be difficult, challenging for them to get through that league there. I agree with you. Dodgers and Colorado look really, really strong, and what's going to happen with San Diego, who knows? But I tell you right now, Arizona's not looking all that good either. So it's going to be a battle for the bottom between those two, in my opinion.
And I realize they've only played one game. You could just see years through years. That's what the Giants are. The other big news, Mike Trout and the Angels, zero chance they make the playoffs. So it's going to be a great year for stats for Mike Trout because they'll be 38 games out, and he's just going to go off when there's no pressure on him. Let's go to Chris. Chris, welcome. You are in the zone.
Thanks for having me, Pagmeter.
All right. What can we do today, Chris?
Good. I wanted to let you know that I'm an official myself down in Visalia, and I've been doing it for at least 10 years or so, and I enjoy it. I still do. Have a lot of fun. It's a great way to keep up in the game, and the pay is decent. I won't say it is great, but... one thing I do want to point out, as my main sport is basketball, and one thing I've noticed over the years, and it seems to just be getting worse and worse, is players, what I like to call taking on the Michael Jordan mentality or Kobe Bryant mentality of thinking every little thing is a foul and that they never commit any fouls. And we know this is
absurd. How do you handle that? How do you handle that, Chris? When you see a cocky player who thinks he's LeBron, how do you handle that?
There's a few approaches. I know it just depends case by case. I usually try to give a warning beforehand that we need to be respectful towards officials, towards other players, and towards coaches. So I just try to first make it a thing where I'm kind of talking to them off on the side. I like to give a couple warnings, you know. It takes a lot to really to get me going, to get me irritated. I like to think I'm one of those people that I just ignore most things. But if it's personally directed at me, I like to try to nip it in the butt as soon as possible because I think I see a lot of officials, they're maybe letting a few things slide, letting players kind of act a certain way, like I said, you know, giving that like LeBron mentality that they're above the team and stuff. So if it's not dealt with that warning, then I just have to, you know, depending on what it is, how it's directed, I have to give a technical. And I wish more officials would use that. I just And especially in the NBA, I know coaches need to do their part to coach their own players, but I just think in the NBA right now, the referees have no control. And a lot of these players, especially Draymond Green, has no respect. And kids are watching this, and I think they're feeding off that. So I would like to see actually the leagues do a better job portraying how games should be, how they should be played. And thank you for listening.
You appreciate it. It's Nick Anderson. Thanks for calling in. But I think you're spot on. I think a lot of these kids watch these NBA guys, and they just assume that's something they're going to do and they can get away with, and that's kind of trickled down into the high school sports. You see it in college as well, but I still think you see it a little bit more even in high school. It's amazing with some of the talent that's not there in high school, some of these high school athletes, and the way they act and the way they assume that they're bigger than the game. But I blame the NBA for all that, and the NBA is not going to do anything about that. They'll find a few people, but at the end of the day, it's all about money, right? There at that stance. So we got to deal with it down on the high school level.
Well, then it
more.
Comes down to the coaches who got to step, right, Chris?
What coaches?
Well, they've got to step in.
Yeah.
If I'm a coach and I got a cocky kid out there, you know where he's going to be? He's going to be sitting on the bench.
Well, Vance Wahlberg, if you have that attitude with Vance Wahlberg, I can tell you right now that you're going to go sit on the bench.
Right.
Now, if you're playing for Brad Rosnowski, you're probably going to stay in the game.
Chris, let me ask you, if I'm a young official and I want to get in the game, and what would you recommend for the young guys out there?
I would recommend starting off at any of your local city leagues. That's kind of how I started off, even just the younger kids, even below 6th, 5th, 4th grade. It goes really low, as you know, and I think just getting in on there, because at that age, you really can't call everything. As they get older, you want to get more strict, but it's all about teaching the rules of the game and, learning certain drills and passes and just to dribble and shoot the ball. So I would start off at the younger ages. And sadly but surprisingly, some of those younger kids below, middle school, that's when they start learning those cocky moves and start trying to imitate the players that aren't the greatest as sportsmen. So I say try to get there in on an earlier age level and then work your way up. That's kind of how I started. I've enjoyed it, and I want to continue to. And just teach people that I'm fine with people being competitive, having that fire. And I know sometimes we're not always like role model citizens or athletes, but I like to see players actually acknowledge that and learn from that. And I've seen that a lot, and it's something really great to see. So I hope more people get into officiating to keep up good sportsmanship and things that are really important just outside the games themselves.
Chris, great call. Call in again when you can. I love that. We're going to take a break. Sir Jim Critchlow is going to join us after the hard break here. You are in the zone.
On 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
It's time to get in the zone.
In the zone.
Oh, my God! The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
5 seconds left in the game. You believe in miracles? Yes!
The Zone is sponsored by Helena Agro Enterprises, The Fieldhouse, and Fashion Furniture.
Swung on with the deep center field. Bernie Williams goes back and in.
It's Friday. It's the Field House, and you're in the zone. Here are your hosts, Nick Papagni.
You talking to me?
And Nick Anderson.
You talking to me?
It's time to get in the zone.
What are you worried about? I'm in the zone, man.
You
are in the zone.
On a Friday afternoon, welcome. It's the Pag Meter. It's Nick Anderson here at the Field House. You are entering the zone. getting you ready for the weekend. And it's going to be a great weekend. Fresno State coming on after this. Paul Leffler will have the call with San Diego State. That's why we're on 3:30, 5:30 today. And we've got the biggest cheeseburger with a big egg right in front of me I've ever seen.
Now, how are you going to eat that egg? Because you told me earlier that you only have an egg for breakfast.
But I'm eating it now.
Okay, so.
You got an egg on this big, giant Black Angus burger with a little cheese, or these are little, what do they call these? Little
tater tots.
Tater tots. Now, that's what I call Tessa, my daughter, tater tot.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah. So, I want to thank Helena Agri Enterprises, LLC, if you're a farmer. And if you just drive down 99, you'll see the trees. If you go to Avenue 7, Avenue 9, all the way through, trees everywhere. Helena Agri Enterprises, LLC are the legendary people around here that will take care of your farm. If you have any questions, you call them, 559-261-9030. And, Nick, this is a crucial time right now.
Oh, it's crucial because you haven't been able to get in the field to do some things. So right now I'd be concentrating on soil fertility. Two products that I would recommend, products of the week, a product called Nucleus Ophos and Nucleus 0021.
Ooh.
Look those products up. Contact your Helena representative. They'll give you more information on their label and what they do well for you.
Who comes up with these names, 0021?
Well, it's kind of a, you know, just refer to it as Nucleus. It's okay. Just got, you have to follow the, you know, the guidelines of labels sometimes, Nick.
Let's go to the legendary man himself, all the way from Porterville, Sir Jim Critchlow. Jim, I got to ask you before we get going, do you have one of those MyPillows at home?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I don't know if you see anyone who has late cable or anybody with cable TV. You got that guy. And oh. I think about this commercial.
Jim looks like him.
Not even close.
Not even close.
This guy's got a satin ice skating figure skating shirt on with a hair hat. He's in the people's medicine cabin. They got a walk-in medicine cabin. It's 2 a.m. and they go, hey, you're that guy. Yeah, I'm going to help you sleep. Now, if you got a walk-in medicine cabinet, I'm thinking sleeping is not the first issue you have. So I just want to share that with you. And don't get the MyPillow, Jim. It'll hurt your neck. I know you've got shoulder, your back, you're too handicapped. But Jim Critchlow, welcome in. I don't know why I brought all that up. I'd have thought maybe you had that MyPillow.
Thanks. Thanks for the invitation, guys.
Jim, I've been trying to counsel Nick here. It's one of those days with him. So I'm not surprising that he came up with that as an introduction, but... Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Thanks.
Hey, Jim, first question for you. I was out at Sierra Pacific yesterday in Hanford. What a great job Dave and they do out there, and Dennis, good program. And I know it's never going to happen, but what if you got a team like Sierra Pacific who's just dominating in the East Sequoia? The baseball team and the basketball team on the girls' side are probably too good for that league, but the other sports aren't good enough. Will you ever see, like, sport to sport maybe move to the – because they would love to be in the WYL or even the Central Sequoia League, but it'll never happen, will it? Got to take one team at the whole school?
Well, it depends. There has been some discussion going back even 5 or 6 years of setting up leagues by sport. It would be difficult to do in a lot of respects, but some sports lend it a little bit easier to doing it. It just has to come from the schools. I heard your show on Thursday with Matt. No, it was Wednesday. That's right, because of baseball yesterday, about Madera South and where they should be. Well, those decisions are made by some school districts. They want all their schools in the same league. Others are for proximity. So there's a lot that goes on. It's just not quite as easy as we might think it would be.
Yeah, I can see that because they're not ready for football. Maybe boys basketball, they're not ready, other sports. But, boy, baseball and girls basketball, they can hang with anybody in the West Yosemite League or even the Central Sequoia League.
Yeah, well, Clovis Unified is one. I mean, they would never go to a different league at all, Jim, right? They generally
– No, that's why we have the track.
Well, that track. But still, when Clovis North came – that's the newest school there. When they came about, they were playing in different – just because of the
–
D2 for a while, right, before they ended up going D1, so once the enrollment got
established. Well, yeah, and you know, league-wise, that could happen just as well. Some brand-new schools coming in may be put down, and not put down, but start in a Sequoia League when actually they're going to be a Yosemite-sized school. So there is that option for the committee to put them in to a startup league, if you will.
We're talking with Jim Critchlow, the CIF commissioner. Basketball, wrapping up basketball, selling arena. I thought it was a pretty good year.
Oh, it was awesome. Yeah. Just had an incredible group of parents and students and basically basketball people show up this year. A couple things to work on. The scoreboard is fine, but the video board isn't. But I understand that Fresno is going to get that fixed for us. So looking forward to next year again.
That was a disappointment, wasn't it? I mean, I heard more about that than some of the basketball games and some of the, you know, things going on the basketball court where most of our focus should be there. But it has not. It what it really serves is the kids who play in the games and what they used to come and watch the championships before when they weren't even, you know, they were in middle school or elementary school, let's say, on some of these kids, and they got to see those videos up on that Jumbotron. My kids got to see that, and boy, that's all they talked about. I want to get to that point. I want to be able to be up on that board. So there's a lot of disappointment on that. It's good to hear that they're working on that because what I had heard from some people is that, hey, we just don't do enough around down here to get something like that fixed. It would take a lot of money to get it fixed, and just for an event like this, it'd be a pretty big ordeal.
Yeah, I'm not positive, but I've been told that's what is happening, but I'll be meeting with Fresno Office of Education here in a couple, 3 weeks, and we'll be going over some things and get some definitive information.
Of course, we always have in the future maybe the Save Martin Center. You got those skyboxes up there. You could probably fill those out and make some money on it as well, but that's just throwing that out there.
Well, right, and the problem there is at Save Martin, we have discussed it and have put some feelers out, is, of course, the Mountain West basketball schedule.
Yeah.
Because they're still playing their games the same time we are, and it just there's certain logistical problems, just like if Fresno State football. If Fresno State football is home, we can't have girls' water polo and boys' water polo finals at Fresno State because they use that area for tailgating. If Fresno State is home and hosting a football game on our football weekend, we can't go to Fresno State for how many games we'd like to play. So there's a lot of logistical things that go on that folks don't really take into consideration when they start talking about going to this spot or that spot or what would be great for kids, which that's all we want to do is what's the best thing for kids.
Yeah, you'd be neat if some of these parents or people that are actually, you know, kind of pulling the Band-Aid a little bit or chucking rocks were able to sit in on some of these meetings that you guys are actually having when you're going through the what if. I call it the what if meetings, right? What happens if we have that there? What's the worst thing that could happen during that time? What's going on? What would prevent us from not being here? You know, all those type of things that you mentioned, Jim, that nobody really seems to consider except for the main one, and that's like, hey, how come we're not playing there?
Yeah, right. And yeah, it would be nice. You know, we've talked about some things. We've invited in the past, we've invited the media to come down to our seating meeting so they can see exactly what we go through to get the team seated. So, yeah, if we have a meeting, well, we have one coming up a week from
Wednesday.
Wednesday, Nick's coming down. Maybe you can hop a ride with him, and you guys can come down and see what the big board of managers and what they go through to make the rules for the section.
I'm excited.
That's good that you're going down there, because I was just going to say that. It's funny you say that, Jim. It'd be great to have Nick go and be able to. If I'm in there, though, I'm kind of a parent, so you don't want a guy like me in there. So a guy like Nick's a little neutral party.
Oh, you know they're going to rip me a new one, too. He's going to stick me in the corner, get the darts out, and away we go. That's the guy who grabs on us all the time. There he is.
Well, you can't miss Nick. Everywhere he goes, yeah. I mean, everybody's kind of giving him a hard time. So,
yeah,
all good.
We're talking with Jim Critchlow, the CIF commissioner. We know baseball and softball coming up at Bulldog Nyman at Pete Biden Field, May 17th, May 18th. Now, is this just the 1 year for baseball? Or if it goes well, we just got to figure out dates because of Fresno State baseball?
Yes, that's the big thing. Right now it's a 1 year because next year we don't know Fresno State's baseball schedule. So it could be that. I don't think we'll be going back to Rawhide simply because that California League is now an even-numbered league. I believe there's 8 teams where they had 9, and with that, they could be flexible on scheduling so that facility would be available to us. They're now 8, so that's done. So it'll just be a matter of when we can get Fresno State's field, and if we can't, then we'll go back to the a high school situation, play them at their home sites.
Well, I do know that Friday night game and the D2 championship and Saturday night in the D1 Valley championship, it will be rocking, and whoever plays in it this year, you're going to expect 3,500 people down at Fresno State, and the softball is going to be packed as well, because there's nothing like seeing the championship game at a big stadium like that.
No, you're absolutely correct, and we were excited about how it's turned out for the softball, and I really can't wait to see what baseball's like there at Biden Field.
No question.
Well, it's going to be, I mean, that venue's been a great place for years and years, and again, to have the players, I mean, they enjoy that. Can you imagine, we talk about selling so much because it's such a, was such been a big environment for these kids growing through the Valley Championships, but baseball, I mean, playing at Biden Field, come on. I mean, they've been watching games there for so long, and to be able to play right there, and who knows if they'll ever play in college or not, but man, I'll tell you what, that's an experience there that they'll never forget.
And I do know, Jim, that San Luis Obispo is trying to get the football and soccer for at Cal Poly. How great would that be?
Yeah, anything, you know, we're really excited having those schools in the section now, and it's lending itself to quite a few new venues. So we're excited to get into talks with them about some of their stuff. They hosted a wrestling this year. They're going to hope they hosted a golf. So we're going to expand to the coast a little bit more as we start moving forward.
And they're listening right now as we speak, by the way. I'm getting emails that they're enjoying Jim Critzlow on the line.
When you talk about the coast, are we talking about, you know, with them participating, are we talking about Cal Poly facilities, or are we looking at individual high schools?
They're working and talking about Cal Poly. There's obviously the football stadium there would be just about the right size. I haven't been in any discussion with anybody about other sports, but a soccer did come up, and I think there again that would Cal Poly would be the venue.
Wouldn't that be great, though? You think about it, because I get a lot of Fresno emails. Come on, Pagmeter, it's too far to go. Well, it's about the same as if you're going to Bakersfield, and it's just in that little triangle. And I think it'd be a fun ride over there.
It's not that far.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about it. I mean, they're coming over here, so to kind of flip over and do some things now that they're involved, 2.5 hours. We've had teams that have traveled all the way down into, Brawley area or that desert up there, Kern, what is it called?
Kern Valley.
Kern Valley up
yeah.
there.
Really?
I mean, you've had, there's too much travel, and anybody that's playing sports anymore, they're traveling anyway because they're doing, you know, club sports for the majority of them anyway that are out there. So it's not that far. Plus, I think it also brings that time of year. You've got, you know, people wanting to escape the valley and maybe getting out of here for a couple of days. So it goes into, you know, having some of the hotels and resorts and things over there maybe have some offers and some specials and things that would attract people to maybe stay a couple extra days. Those type of things you could definitely incorporate in that venue offering.
Sure could. And you mentioned the distance from when you leave Paso, and I think I've mentioned it before, there's a sign right as you turn on to 46. It says Bakersfield, 110 miles, Fresno, 110 miles. You leave Chowchilla and drive to Bakersfield for a game because you're in that division, you're driving, 180 miles.
Yeah.
Well, unless we
one
get
way,
that high-speed
so.
Rail someday from Merced to Bakersfield, you'll get there in 12 minutes.
I think it's not about the miles that people probably spend time looking at. I think it's the road that it takes to get over to San Luis Obispo, that stretch between, you know, Fresno, Lemoore, that whole through Kettleman City and then over the hill. That road's getting better. They're widening it, but it seems like it's taking a lot longer than 2.5 hours just because of the road alone.
Yeah, I think that is indeed the case, but it is getting better, and hopefully they'll have it finished here pretty soon, but who knows.
See, Jim, he didn't even hear my high-speed rail. That's what I have to deal with over here, Nick.
I was texting Jim, and I usually tune him out when I'm texting because generally it's just something I heard 2 weeks ago.
No, I heard him with his high-speed rail. I chuckled.
Yeah. Hey, Jim, so I know it's the time of year where, and it's probably hard to talk about, but it's time of year where kids could be transferring. We know it's football season coming up already. I'm hearing rumors or people are flying around. When does it start cranking up for the CIF office when all these files start to happen?
Well, every time a kid transfers, if he moves from school A to school B and enrolls, I'm doing them now. I had three on my desk this morning. Yesterday I had six. So people are some of them have already been there and they're just becoming eligible and so on and so forth. But the biggest preponderance will be in August. But as I said, we're getting them now and we'll get them through the summer as kids enroll in their new school.
Are you seeing any more than you normally see this time of year at all, or do you look like it's just kind of status quo?
It's about the same as it was last year. I just did a survey for the entire year that I'm going to present to the Board of Managers in a week and a half that at this point in time, I think we have 975 transfers. This time last year was 972. We have 214, I believe, sit-out periods. Last year at this time it was like 120. So there's a whole lot of information I'm going to be able to give to them in a week and a half that shows transfers who, where they went, where they left from, what type it was, sit-out period, full family move, what sports they play, all that kind of stuff will be available in a week and a half to them.
So is that available to the general public?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow, okay. That's good.
It's public information, so yeah.
Yep. Talk with Jim Critzlow, the CIF commissioner. I got an email coming in now saying a player transferred at the end of football season to a school B, but now he's back to school A right about now. How does that work? I mean, is he eligible right away at the old school?
Nope. No, not at all. If he transferred, if he left school A this year and went to school B and participated, now he's gone back to school A, he's ineligible at A. You cannot transfer back and forth like that. You have to, even though it may be a full family move, that's another transfer, and you only get one. You don't get two.
See, so there you go. I'm not even going to have to email you back. You probably listened to the legend himself, Jim Critzlow. And you know what? I'm telling you, I bet from now to about 10 years ago, it is a whole changing world now in this whole world of high school athletics.
Oh, no question. We've made major rule changes ourselves, some for the better, some for the worse, I'll be very honest, with the CIF in general. And it is crazy how it has changed. It's almost become like college.
It is. It really is. And these people, these parents seem to think if I go to school B instead of school A, I can get into Auburn or Alabama. That's how it's going to be, and it's crazy out there.
Oh, it is. And it's so unfortunate, you know, people having their kids listening to your show, or maybe a CG show the other day where you had the wrestling coach from Fresno State on, and he was so great about Hokut being a two-sport athlete and how you learn so much more from two sports or three sports than you do from just being a single sport athlete. And we're seeing so many of those nowadays. Parents are wasting so much money on trying to get their kid that scholarship that basically only 2% of the nation is going to get.
You know, it's a classic, Jim. So the old coach of football was here, and I called him. I said, hey, I got a guy who's a Pac Mineral All-Star. He was a player of the year. His name's Josh Hokut. He'd love to be a Bulldog. He's also a wrestler. He might be going away, but he wants to play football. And the guy goes, who? You're kidding me, right? So he ended up playing for the old coach, but he also played both ways and wrestled. So how do you not know?
Yeah.
That's just why, well, I just want to get. Josh Hokut is a special player, and he's going to go down as one of the greatest of all time in Valley history. So it's amazing story.
It is. It really is.
Well, Jim, thank you so much for joining us today. And we're going to talk. We got to start having every 2 weeks or so the Jim Critchlow Hour because I get so many emails with so many great questions that I'm just going to save them until you come on.
Yeah, we're going to have Jim be a private consultant when he retires someday. We'll have him coming on.
I love Jim. Jim, you don't duck any questions. I can throw them all out there.
Yeah,
we
try.
You never one time go, you know what, I can't talk about that. You just lay it out there. I love that.
Well, and there's no reason not to be transparent. The only thing is, as we mentioned that one time, was I can't talk about kids by name because of the FERPA issues. But, hey, what is there to hide? You know, I have no problem talking about it. I may not agree with you or anybody else, but that's what America's all about. There's disagreement,
Jim,
but then next time we're on the same side.
Yeah, but Jim usually is about 98% agreeing with the PAG meter. That's okay, Jim.
That's normal, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Jim. Jim, have a great weekend. We're going to talk to you again soon.
See you, Jim.
You bet.
Jim Critchlow.
See you guys. Thanks.
Thank you. Let's take a break. We're going to come back, talk a little volleyball. Central Grizzlies volleyball. Darren Williams, I love Darren because he's in the know with every school, and we keep updated with volleyball all the time. Don't go anywhere. If you're a volleyball guy, you want to talk, listen to Darren Williams on 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
You're in the zone on 940 ESPN. Sponsored by Helen Agri Enterprises and the Fieldhouse. Once again, here are your hosts, the Pag Meter and Nick Anderson.
You
are in the zone.
On a Friday afternoon, I want to thank Jim Critchlow, the CIF commissioner. We are live at the Fieldhouse on Copper and Maple. It's starting to get packed in here. And this cheeseburger that they brought out to me with a little leg in it. Yeah, you inhaled yours.
What's going on? I mean, I want me to describe it. Egg, avocado, smoked Gouda, I want to say.
And a 12-pound patty.
A 12-pound patty with some onion rings, tater tots, and some onions, which you discarded.
Yeah, well, I'm working on it. But we're at the Fieldhouse, brought to you by Helena Agri Enterprises, LLC. Call them at 559-261-9030 if you're a grower out there. If you have any questions, Rochelle will answer the phone, and she'll find out where you're farming, and she'll take care of you. Is that how it works?
That's exactly how it works. You're trained. I should put you up there.
She'll say, good afternoon. It's Helen Agri Enterprises, LLC. May I help you? Yeah, I'm Gary. I'm out in Five Points. Well, I'll tell you what. And who would he call? Who's Five Points?
Oh, he'd probably call Fireball.
Fireball. There you go.
Fireball, Kerman, Hanford. Those three locations, depending on, you know, everybody kind of farms around, so I would say those.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, let's go now. It's time to talk about a little boys volleyball. Darren Williams on the line. And first of all, last time I checked, Darren, Central's leading Clovis West in baseball 2-0. What's the latest out there?
Currently, yes, we got baseball out here at Central High. It's 3-0 Central in the bottom of the third.
Might be one of the greatest stories of the year, Darren. One of the best stories of the year. Central baseball, they're doing, you know, they're doing a great job. And first time they beat Buchanan in 33 straight games, they won this year. But what a start to the Grizzlies, Darren. How are you?
Absolutely, just fine, Mr. Pagmeter. But yeah, Central baseball is doing a great job this year.
Yeah, you know about those kids. They're doing an outstanding job, young, and they're playing. They got a lot of heart.
Darren, did you say Mr. Pagmeter?
Yes, he did. Boy, I love Darren.
That's a compliment.
Hey, Darren, let's talk volleyball, because is this a good year for volleyball, or is it down, is it up? You give us the scoop.
Well, it's very there's no real dominant team this year, so it looks like when we're going into track play and other leagues, are a lot of teams are vying for championships in different leagues that haven't been vying for championships before. And coming into the playoffs, I think that a lot of teams can win it all.
So, Darren, you're saying that the fans are going to love this. You're going to get a lot of three out of five sets. You're going to be seeing some action.
There's a lot of action in our league this year. We're the bottom feeders, but we went five with Clovis West. Last night we went five with Clovis East. And, you know, we're right in there sometimes, and it's an exciting game to watch track volleyball right there with all the other schools that play exciting volleyball.
And you're doing a great job, Darren, at Central. You're going to be battle-tested for that Division II playoffs. Right now I've got Madera South, number one, Sunnyside 2, and Central 3. Tell us about Division II. Is it one of those years where anybody could beat anybody as well?
Absolutely. Madera South seems to be the team on a roll right now. They got probably one of the best players in the Valley on their team. But they don't have a lot of depth when it comes to competing in against Division I. But against Division II, they're pretty much dominating our division right now.
And let's talk Division I. I got North Bakers, or Clovis North right now at number one, Bullard 2. Tell us, is the track the team? I mean, they're just loaded every night. It's going to be a great, great match every night in the track.
There's not going to be a single matchup that is going to be boring or 3-0 and out, 25-15, 25-15. Every game, even us, again, we're 0-5, but I tell you what, we're the best 0-5 team in the Valley, because every night we go out, we compete. We're 25-20, 25-22. It's right up to the end.
And of course, I've got the Central Coast teams listening right now, and Arroyo Grande is just emailing me saying, hey, tell Darren, don't forget about the Eagles, Arroyo Grande, Morro Bay, and San Luis Obispo. Who's the team to beat down there? And the press is on, Darren. They're listening.
That's right. Arroyo Grande seems to be the team right now. They beat us in a close match at the Sanger tournament, and they did well in the Sanger tournament against Division One teams. So they're new this year to our playoff system, and the gal does a great job out there, Arroyo Grande.
Yeah, you know, the volleyball thing, getting back to the excitement about the matches and things. I remember going to these matches and watching, you know, Clovis West play against Buchanan and Bullard playing out there. And if you're looking for something to do and you're not into volleyball, I'll tell you what, you can get into volleyball real quickly. It is exciting. The ball's moving all the time. It's not boring at all.
Yeah, the boys' game is action-packed, hard-hitting, good blocking, great serving. It's an exciting, really exciting, fast-paced match.
How many basketball players do you think are out there playing volleyball? I know it's kind of tough to do both because they're right after each other, or volleyball is right after basketball anyway. That's a tough one, I think. But, you know, I don't know how many of those volleyball players are playing basketball. Did you have any idea? Are you getting some of your basketball players playing for Central out there, or are you just strictly kids that are just playing volleyball?
Well, I'll tell you what. The key is that there should be more basketball players playing volleyball, because I truly believe if you play volleyball, you become a better basketball player. We work on vertical. We do plyos every day. We do the hurdles. Agility is one of the things we do a lot of, and we jump a ton every practice and every game. So their vertical will definitely get better, and their agility will get better. There's not enough basketball players that play volleyball. But back in the old days, I remember Keenan Whitehurst and Tad Hoffman out of Hanford. They played basketball all their years, and guess what? They turned to volleyball, and they're on the Junior Olympic team for volleyball. So there's got to be more basketball players playing volleyball here.
We're talking with Darren Williams, the head coach of the Central Grizzlies. Well, I would bet there's probably more scholarships in volleyball, because there's a better chance of seeing an eclipse than getting a scholarship in basketball anymore. Unless you're LeBron, Kobe, or Michael Jordan, you got zero chance. So I would say, why not play both?
You said zero chance?
Yeah, zero chance.
Zero chance.
Well, unless you're Jalen Green or Cole Anderson, you got no chance. That's all I'm saying. So why not?
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Why not? In my coaching career, I've had players who are strictly basketball players turn into volleyball players, and literally have played college volleyball and not college basketball.
I've had five
athletes in my career, and I see more every day turning to volleyball and saying, you know what, there's a better opportunity to get a scholarship, get an education. UC Merced has a boys men's team, and there's a lot of men's teams in the California area that would love some of these boys.
Exactly.
But everybody's going to play in the NBA. What do you mean?
Zero. This is what kills me, Darren. Basketball in our valley is more corrupt than any sport we've ever had in our life. There's more street agents. There's more this. There's more that. And there's no scholarships out there. You go to baseball, I guarantee Trent Tompkins playing for Davis, playing football, quarterback. He's playing center field. He's got a scholarship. Baseball-wise, it's off the charts. Softball.
Mm-hmm.
I think boys basketball is on the bottom of the totem pole when it comes to the next level. But we focus so much on boys basketball. It just drives me nuts. I'm just driving Nick crazy right now.
There's a ton of players on that bench on the basketball team that can literally become a star in the volleyball program.
No doubt about it. Most of them played volleyball, though, in middle school. If you look at the middle school teams and you see what these kids were doing, because they needed to do something, right? So at that point,
Absolutely.
There wasn't year-round stuff going on, and there still was year-round in terms of, you know, club ball, those kind of things. But everybody played more than one sport typically in middle school. And I've seen some really good volleyball players that were out there that are very good basketball players as well. But you bring up a good point. At some point, you got to be realistic with yourself and understand, how far am I going to take this? You know, Nick gives me a hard time about basketball. That's fine. But only 10 players in the last 10 years have had Division I scholarships in basketball.
That's not a lot.
No.
Right, not a lot. And we finally grabbed a basketball player here at Central. Freshman kid, 7'6". I'm sorry, 6'7". Oh, and we're moving him up today.
Wow, I said you got an NBA guy there, Jared. 7-something. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute.
But I tell you what, he can block, and that's what we're going to use him for. So we'll see how he does. And like I said, hopefully that opens the door for more basketball players to see what they can do on the volleyball court.
Boy, would it be awesome to see Fresno State? I know Fresno State has a club volleyball team.
Would it be nice
to get back in there again?
Possibly so. Their club team for years has gone to the national club tournament championships and won a couple of national titles back in the 90s. Fresno State volleyball is really good volleyball to go watch that, even at the club level.
Wow. Well, Darren, keep up the great work. We love it. I'm going to keep updated. We'll have the PAG Meter rankings out on my on the website. And thanks for all your help out there. And keep up the good work.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. PAG Meter. Appreciate you.
Darren Williams, the Central Grizzlies. He's got that great PA voice, too. Nobody.
Hey,
number 18, Trent Tompkins.
It's like that guy on that show that's doing the commercial with the cars now. You see him, he's sitting there, and he goes, hey, now you see the cruise control on the left, and you've got the GPS segment on the right. Is that good?
He's almost like you when you go, you're in the zone.
I'm trying here.
He's got that deep voice. But now, you know what I mean. I mean, we talk so much about boys basketball, but there's nothing out there because I think we're in an area where there's not a lot of height. In our area, we're all 5'10", 5'8", 6'1", and if you're 6'1", you're a dime a dozen out there.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, people get outside this area and you start looking, and it's one good thing about getting out here is it gives you an idea that, you know, what you're up against. And maybe some of these people need to get out and watch these kids that they'll be playing with at the next level. And you're right, Nick, if you look at these AAU teams, regardless if you like the teams or how it works or whatever, doesn't matter. That's who's going to be playing at that next level. And there's 6'10 all day long, 6'8. Your guards are all 6'4, 6'5. And so if you're thinking you're, you know, under 6 feet tall and you got a chance, it's going to be even slimmer to that 1-1.5% that Jim talked about earlier. He referred to it as 2%. But if you're looking at D1, and everybody's got to play D1, right? There's no such thing as anything less than that. If you don't play D1, then you're crazy. But man, there's sure a lot of money out there in the lower divisions. But staying in basketball, and you just brought that up, how's your PAG Meter team coming along? You getting down to the wire with getting your basketball team all set up for your PAG Meter All-Stars?
Yes. I'm working on that. Also, I'm going to have a PAG Meter Super Saturday at Fresno Christian in January. And so Helena Agar Enterprises is going to sponsor that. They don't know about it yet. But they're going to be involved with Doghouse Grill. We got the teams are all set. Starting in the morning, I want to thank John over there, the athletic director of Fresno Christian. We'll talk more about that. That'll be fun, hanging out in the gym out there.
Well, I'll be there. I don't know if I'll be there, but I'll definitely be a part of it, Nick.
Yes, you are.
Absolutely.
It's fun. Let's take a break because I finally like to see Nick Anderson, the big cat, get in a fight on Twitter about about newspapers out there. Let's talk about that when we come back. What has happened? And we'll talk about the media side of the print. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Zone on 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local speech leader.
You're in The Zone on 940 ESPN. Sponsored by Helena Agri Enterprises and The Fieldhouse. Once again, here are your hosts, The PAG Meter and Nick Anderson.
You
are in the zone.
On a Friday afternoon, welcome. It's the PAG Meter. It's Nick Anderson here at the amazing field house going on. It's starting to get crowded. Now come on down. They put the cheeseburger with the egg on top in front of me. I recommend today, I don't know why, but I'm thinking it's a barbecue pizza weekend. I like that.
You had that last week. Yeah. It's still on your mind.
Yeah.
Don't forget the 19 large screen TVs they have here either. It's amazing. If you look around, I count 19. By the way, and I think there's more draft beers over there than I can count, so I'm not even going to attempt to count. But there's plenty to do. There's plenty of people here rolling in here before the games start up. And if you have that spirit gear on, Nick, come on by, and you'll get 10% off on your entree or any food that you purchase. So good deal tonight. Come on by, Fieldhouse.
First quarter or first half action, Auburn leading North Carolina 21-20. So we got basketball all over. The Warriors are on. In fact, who can watch the NBA right now? You are a true basketball fan because that's like watching paint dry because they're not hustling. They want to get to the playoffs and get to the real season.
Right now it's tough. I mean, guys are resting. You go buy a ticket over at the Golden State or something and you pay 80,
you're crazy.
$1,000, $8,000 dollars. I'm just exaggerating. But and all Curry decides he's not going to play that night, or Durant, and you got your two kids with you, and you saved up all year to go to this game. And so it's a good example. Don't go to late season games.
Don't go. 6:30 to go in the first half. Michigan State leads LSU 32-17. So we got basketball going crazy. Hey, also, it's official. The PAG meter's running for the Leukemia Lymphoma Man of the Year. I'm going to have a huge party April the 13th. I want to thank Matt Billingsley from the Doghouse Grill. He's going all out for me. I will give you more details, but it's going to be 300 people, and that's it. So I will have the tickets coming up. It's going to be a shindig. It's going to be fun. I'm going to invite all the coaches, the athletic directors, and then everybody else. But it's going to be 300 people, and that's it.
I mean, are you talking about taco trucks and
tacos,
and beer and all that kind of stuff?
Well, you can go get the Doghouse Grill and not have to wait in line out there.
Or park.
You'll be perfect and all-you-can-eat Doghouse food out there. It's going to be fun.
Okay, I'm in.
April the 13th. Now, you were talking on Twitter about the media. You got going as you see a lot of this.
I thought we were the media.
Well, we are media. Okay. But you saw, like, in Orange County and maybe in Sacramento where they have an all-star team in the newspaper. Well, the Fresno Bee's dead. It's over. So what was your – you got it going. You got people talking on Twitter line. Tell me about it.
Well, I don't know. It's nothing new, but it comes around every year. It comes with any sport. If you remember, the Fresno Bee did a very good job in
– Andy Bogart.
You know, there you go. And Andy, you know, resurfaces from time to time, and when he does, it's fun to watch him tweet and talk about kids and teams and all that good stuff. And I think people don't realize what he did when he was at the Fresno Bee, how much work went into that. You know that because you do a lot of it on your own. You probably do as good a job as anybody. But when they made the changes at the Fresno Bee, they eliminated the all-star teams.
Well, they eliminated local sports.
They didn't eliminate local sports. They still cover local sports. They still have articles about a team. It might be a day or two late, but it is on there and you know, online, and occasionally the paper will have something in there. But it's a very thin version. What I was getting at is that there's other newspapers out there, and I know the paper thing is struggling right now, and online things are much more popular with everyone that's out there. And I'm not involved with the business side, so I have no idea how the business is run. But all I'm saying is that if the paper's still functioning right now, most people get the paper to look at sports. I'm sorry. I don't know how many people you know that open up the paper and read it, you know, cover to cover on some of these articles that are 2 days old. I don't. I don't even get the paper anymore because I don't even care if I'm reading about. I want to see what's going on with local sports. That's my main thing. If I'm in Fresno, especially, if I'm in L.A., well, I might be doing something else with the newspaper. But if I'm in Fresno, there's not a whole lot going on here. I'm probably wanting to see what's going on from the night before. And we're missing that. Even the box scores are behind. And I know it's nothing against anybody at the Fresno Bee. They're just limited on the personnel they currently have. And seeing what Orange County is doing, seeing what they're doing in Modesto or even up in Sacramento, there's other newspapers still providing that type of all-star teams. And, again, going back to what we experienced when we were at Celland Arena on the Jumbotron and being able to do those type of things with the you know, videos, and the kids remember that. That's something that they have for the rest of their life. So it's a local paper. Clovis Roundup does a good job, but they cover local Clovis sports for the most part. Fresno Bee covered all of them. So we're missing out, I think, on a special time for the majority of these kids. And remember, I'm not talking about just basketball, baseball, football. I'm talking about water polo. I'm talking about track and field. I'm talking about badminton. I'm talking about all the sports that Andy and the other people that were working in that department used to report on. And that was not easy to do. So if it's money that we're talking about here, why don't we look for sponsors and let people help them get through those times, sponsor the all-star team for the badminton, you know, group, something like that. But I haven't heard of any people reaching out to anyone on that.
Well, let me just tell you, Modesto is going to die soon, along with Sacramento. They're just hanging on. It's just the way it is. They do not want to get into local sports anymore, and I don't think they know their audience. And it's really sad because I think our show is real popular. The Rise Show is real popular because local sports is growing like a tsunami, and everything else is not. And this is what they didn't even think about. Local sports is huge around here, and they just didn't do their homework. They went another direction, and they're dead.
Yeah, and so, again, I don't know their business. They have to do what they have to do in order to keep that thing moving, and that's on them. So nothing negative on how they're doing it. I just like to know if there's anything they can do that maybe they could bring some of that stuff back.
No, we could talk all day, but we don't want to get political.
No, not at all. I just, all I'm saying is that it's my whole interest in this is the kids and what the kids have earned, whether it be the video screen down at Cellin Arena, and then small things like that are what these kids are remembering for the rest of their lives. Those are the kind of things I think that businesses, corporations love putting some money back into, because it's a good thing for Fresno.
Good luck. I mean, if you can figure that out, it's. I just think it's...
Well, I've never been asked to figure it out. Yeah. That's the thing. I don't know what's going on. I know they've got a couple reporters that get around. They do as good a job as they can with the things that they're working with, I'm assuming, okay?
The Fresno Bee died when Andy Bogart left.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, but
and
that,
I told you that you didn't believe me.
What he was worth. And sometimes you don't know what you have until you don't have it anymore. And, again, whatever decision they use down there, you're right. I don't care. I'm not getting involved with it. But when Andy left, local sports left, then there's nobody that's been able to compensate for that. You do a wonderful job. I commend you for as much time as you put into it, and it not even being a full-time job for you, but you act like it is a full-time job, and it takes a lot of time at night. People out there listening have no idea how much time Nick puts into this, communicating with local coaches, athletic directors, going to games, having people out there that give him information as well. It's a lot that goes into it, so I commend you for that.
Well, thank you, sir. And I also love, like, Trevor Horn in the Bakersfield, California.
Yep.
They do a fantastic job down there. I know their budget's nothing. He's out getting around, and he does a great job on his video podcast, which I would love to do someday. I just think local sports is growing like I've never seen before, and a lot of people are missing the boat.
Well, again, I'm not going to – I don't – I mean, other articles that are out there on these newspapers, I don't even know why they print them. Those things are old news. I mean, there's things that I read in the paper that I read online, you know, 2 days ago.
Well, what's thicker, the Charmin toilet paper or the Fresno Beast? It's pretty even.
Those days are kind of old. You're right. I get how that's a good description there. But I'm just – all I'm saying is that it's sad. I mean, I guess things just kind of go away and you move on, but – I remember those days when you'd open it up and you'd have somebody's picture on there, and it would be the water polo player and player of the year. And, man, kids used to look forward to waiting and wanting to know when that was going to come out, and the player of the years. And even though you do that and you do all of it online, there's something about having – I don't care what era we're in, and I don't care the generations out there. Generations even today that look online, they still like to see that picture.
Well,
they like to see that
point.
Picture.
And Matt said it perfectly a couple weeks ago. We're going to have him on around 5 o'clock. But he said, remember back in the day when the Fresno Bee had 3 or 4 pages of Fresno State sports? It was a perfect media for Fresno State. You got to know the players. Jerry Tarkanian's players. You knew everything about them because they were on every day in the paper. That's gone. And I haven't read the newspaper since Andy Bogart left, to be honest with you. But you don't get to know the players anymore. And I think it's hurt Fresno State on the marketing side as well. They had a free marketing suckers. Everyone used to get the B back even 10 years ago.
Yeah, and I think 940 does a really good job stepping up, you know, with that and getting out and you know, with the different programs that we offer here, calling the games for the majority and also having kids come on and talk about the teams and having the coaches show and things at different establishments around the area. That's been a good plug for everyone.
No question. That's all they have left, really. And then, of course, the Twitter, where you can go in there and see some photos and stuff like that. But, yeah, it's a whole other world. And I give credit to Modesto B., Sacramento right now.
Orange County Register.
Orange County. They do a great job down there. And I'm telling you, kids, save that article, because in a couple of years you're going to be doing what Fresno's doing. They're going to go, what happened?
Yep.
Sad.
It is sad.
We're going to take a break and come back and talk a little track and field. Matt Johnson's out at Buchanan.
Sorry,
Clovis East today.
Uh-oh.
But we're getting ready for they call it the Masters Championship.
A little wind out there. Wind-aided times
today.
Well,
that's a tough one, too. But the Masters Championship's coming up at Buchanan. And maybe he'll have all the scoops for us and how this year's teams compare to, like, when Jenna Prandini was here, you know, 5-6 years ago, and see what the talent pool's like. So don't go anywhere. We are live here at the Fieldhouse, brought to you by Helena Agora Enterprises, LLC. Call them at 559-261-9030. We're here at the Fieldhouse. Come on down and hang out with the Nick and Nick Show on 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader. to my little friend.
It's time to get in the zone.
In the zone.
Oh, my God! The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
5 seconds left in the game. You believe in miracles? Yes!
The Zone is sponsored by Helena Agro Enterprises, The Fieldhouse, and Fashion Furniture.
Swung on at the deep center field. Bernie Williams goes back and in.
It's Friday. It's the Fieldhouse, and you're in the zone. Here are your hosts, Nick Papagni.
You talking to me?
And Nick Anderson.
You talking to me?
It's time to get in the zone.
What are you worried about? I'm in the storm, man.
You
are in the zone.
Thanks for hanging out with us today. We are live here at the Fieldhouse, Copper and Maple, and it's starting to rock in here on a Friday afternoon. It's the Pag Meter. It's Nick Anderson. And there's nothing like the Field House on a Friday, because this is the best time of year, best time of the week to come in here.
Well, what's the best day? It's Friday.
Yeah, it's Friday.
It's kicking off the weekend. You got basketball, which is firing back up last night on the next round. And tonight, of course, more games and over the weekend. But right now there's games going on, and you got North Carolina against Auburn, and that is running right now. They also have the Michigan State game going
33-31, North Carolina leads Auburn. Starting the second half, so look, that's at halftime, so that'll be a good one. It's brought to you by Helena Agri Enterprises LLC. We do want to thank Jim Critchlow, the Sir Jim, the CIF commissioner today, joining us. Darren Williams, Central Grizzlies basketball. We're going to join Matty Jay in a few minutes. He's out at the track. Track's going crazy right now, but this time of year, it's the spring sports. It's finally the sun's out. It's windy today, though. If you're a track guy, it can't be fun.
Well, it depends on which way the wind's pushing you, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think I'll just pull over sometimes. If I'm driving and I get lucky enough to see a meet going on, whether it be, I mean, elementary schools even have track meets. It's amazing. But if I see a meet going on with, high schools, I'll pull over. There's nothing greater than watching the events, especially the relays. I just love watching the relays and these kids compete. Those of you who haven't seen one yet, now we do that wonderful state meet here that is so well done and so many great athletes that come through Fresno. If you haven't seen that, boy, get your tickets on that one when they become available, because that's one of the best events the Valley has to offer.
Yeah, no question about it. I do want to give a love out Dennis Springer. Golden Bears Baseball second annual fundraisers poker dinner is coming up. So that's going to be on, see if I can get the date, March the 30th. So that was going to be a lot of fun. I will put that on Pag Meter Twitter. I was out there yesterday at Sierra Pacific, the Golden Bears, and they are so good for the East Sequoia League. And that's what I was trying to bring up to Jim, that they need to be, that baseball team can hang. They've already beat Hanford. They've got a great program, and they're growing. And I hate to say it, but there's a lot of kids from Hanford West now moving to Sierra Pacific. So that is the new upcoming team in Hanford. So how do you handle that, Nick? When you see a team that could just, the kids are just walk through the East Sequoia League, but they could be playing in the Central Sequoia or even the West Yosemite League.
Transfers, right?
Or, hey, they're neighborhood teams because the schools are so close to each other.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. It's not easy to do. I mean, there's also exploding out there on housing.
Yeah.
More and more people starting to move there. With some of those areas that they're building these developments. Have you been out there recently? You were there yesterday.
Yes.
Yesterday, you saw some of that.
Oh, I did. And Hanford is growing. You're absolutely right. But I was really impressed with the whole baseball program, the field, everything. And so great job, Dennis Springer and Dave out there for Tato. And they're doing a great job. The Golden Bears, they're going to be playing in the Easter Classic out in Emmanuel. I'm going to be out there on a Monday night. It'll be Sierra Pacific versus Emmanuel. That's going to be a good one. You got to see Will Springer throwing for Sierra Pacific, the future Bulldog. Mike Bates was getting a good one.
Yeah, and there's a kid that stuck out down there. And, you know, some of these kids that are pitching at that next level are trying to get to these bigger high schools that supposedly have better programs and things. That's a good example right there of an up-and-coming program, but somebody that's sticking it out there, right?
Minarets beat Clovis North.
True.
You got Aaron Hall staying home. Yeah, no question. Of course, Dennis Springer, who played Major League Baseball, he was a knuckleballer. So that's pretty good. Hey, Dad, how was it in the big leagues? It's a pretty good story. I mean, you
know. A little gene pool to pull from, right?
Yeah, no question. We didn't get a chance to talk, and I know Matty J's going to join us in a second, but the Tom Izzo deal, as a dad, when you saw him yelling at the player, and the player afterwards was no big deal to him because that's what he expects, what was your first thoughts?
Nothing. It was just typical coach doing his job and trying to motivate, and spent so many hours probably talking about some of the things that kid didn't do right that day, and now it's all of a sudden playoff time and tournament time, and it's time to all those things that you worked hard, effort, you know, all season long to try to implement into the program, and then all of a sudden he fails at something. And, that's part of coaching, and I think it's okay as long as there's not any blows being thrown. Do you agree with that? I agree with that.
I totally agree. I didn't see anything wrong with it. Now, if you're being recruited, so Cole Anderson's going to be recruited, and he's already playing for Vance Wahlberg, who's an old-style coach who doesn't mess around. If you're, maybe you can help out parents out there. If they're, I don't care what sport, should they check out and maybe talk to players? Hey, how is? Because you know Jennifer doesn't really handle coaching, and you know they yell at her, and you know she just doesn't do well. She clams up, and she's just not herself. Isn't that a good way to find out the coach before you go into this? Like, I had no idea. He yells at me all the time. I can't take it. Or what would you recommend to parents?
Well, I mean, you're probably going to go experience this with these coaches anyway, right? Because you're going to go to the games before your kid, your son or daughter, gets to high school. I'm assuming that you're probably going to go check it out, and not because you're trying to analyze the offense or defense, because most parents have no idea what they're looking at, but just to try to see what goes on, you know, with the coach and how he treats the players. And sometimes, you know, from the stands, you look at what coaches do. I know I got caught up in all these type of things as well, is that all you see is a bunch of yelling going on. But honestly, it's just discipline, okay? And a lot of people are pretty soft with their kids. And I've got caught up on that over the years where, man, why are these guys yelling at these kids? I mean, they're yelling out way too much, and I even complain about it. But if you look at how that ended up working out towards the end, most kids that can handle it or have the ability to play at the next level, they're probably going to deal with that better, and they're going to have to experience that at some point down the road. So you might as well experience it at a younger age.
So true, and I think it's going to make it maybe a better – I'm not saying a player, but I'm not saying yelling's good, but it's not bad either.
Well, there's certain – my opinion is there's certain players that can handle things differently. I get it, but a coach's job is to – and sometimes it doesn't work because you just get caught up in the moment. And I'm not a coach, but I can just imagine what it's like. And you run a business, you get in the same type of situation with people that are working with you and what goes on that day. But everybody's got a different way of going about things. So I still believe that a coach should coach, but he should understand who he's coaching and be able to get the most out of those players by treating them a certain way. There are certain players you don't have to yell at, Nick. You can just tell them what you want, and off they go. There's some players that need to be disciplined a little bit. As long as it's not a verbal attack, cussing, and things like that going on, you got to raise your voice to get their attention. Those type of things are okay as long as they're done properly.
Well said. You're absolutely right, because every coach has, and every player, every soldier is different. And that's why I wanted to, hopefully Matt Johnson will call in, because he had players that, you know, a lot of times when he was at Edison, they didn't have dads. And here, if I start yelling at a kid who, he doesn't have a dad at home, and he can't handle it, he maybe, you know, he just goes into another level. And other kids are like, hey, my dad yells at me all the time, not a big deal. You got to know your players.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Anything. If you talk about life after, you know, sports, you're going to have to deal with people that employ you. And if you're going to become a manager at some point, or running a business or starting your business, you got to figure those type of things. You got to know who your soldiers are. And like you mentioned, I think that's a great analogy. And then you have to, in order to get the most out of them, it just takes you. It takes relationships. It takes time to do that and understand. But if you don't spend any time doing it, then your expectations shouldn't be that high, right? But
you know, the player for Tom Izzo, Michigan State, that was a perfect example. They interview him after. He goes, "Hey, I knew what I was getting into.
Sure.
We're a family, and I knew, and I'm fine with it." He didn't clam up and start saying, "Yeah, he touched me, and then, you know, I just don't like it. I'm going to transfer." No, he knew exactly, and he's an old style coach. And I would recommend parents on any level, you check out the coach, talk to them. Now, we say this too, that every kid that's being recruited, and you help me if I'm right or wrong, you're going to go see the school, and you're going to see the great trees, and that's where the building is, where we're going to go hang out, and, oh, they got a great weight room. But I think you got to talk to players. And what's it like here? Because the coaches are going to talk. They're used car salesmen. Oh, it's great here. You're great. You're gonna love it here. It's great. But to talk to the players before you get in. And maybe, hey, tell me, though, how is it like Monday on a dead day? Right?
You're talking about the school itself, or you're talking about the coach?
I'm talking about the school, the coach, and the players got to tell him what they're living through. They got to be honest with you.
I don't know if you'll get the honesty part, because I think a lot of kids are worried about that old thing that might get back to the coach. Hey, so-and-so said that this place stinks or something like that, and it gets back, and then all of a sudden you get that blackball label, you know, on you. And so I think, you know, again, I think a lot of kids want to talk, or just people in general. A lot of people want to say things, they just don't do it because they don't want it to come back to them. So I don't know if you can gain anything by that. To me, you make more than one visit. It's like going and buying a house. You can go buy a house. You can look at it when it's open. They got the lights on. They got it's all fresh and clean and everything. Go drive back in that neighborhood every night. Go see what happens when all the lights go out and the neighborhood goes dark. Find out what's going on. See if you hear any dogs barking. See those kind of things, right? So you spend a little bit extra time than just like, oh, my God, it's got a hot tub in the back. Oh, it's got an island in the kitchen. It looks beautiful. You need to spend some more time if you don't take the time to do that. So that's why I think that when you do visits to schools, if you're lucky enough to be able to get around a little bit and you have interest in certain schools, and I always think there should be some kind of interest in the schools even before they start recruiting you. What type of kid is it? What type of school fits that kid, regardless of the coach? Start going to those schools, visiting on weekends, and being around the area as much as possible. Watching the coach during games, not just on TV or streaming, but watch what that coach does in press conferences. Things that when they don't even know you're looking. Because when they know you're looking, they have a completely different delivery.
So, so true. And also, fall in love with the school and the area, because that coach might not be there a year after they recruit you. You never know anymore. Don't fall in love with the coach. How many times? We saw that with Adrian Martinez. He fell in love with Tennessee. How'd that work out? Where did he end up? Nebraska. Because of the coach. Coaches could leave. They're a dime a dozen. They might get a better offer. They're going down the road. And you're going to have to get stuck and stay there.
Yeah, I mean, but I still think that, you know, coaches are important.
Well, sometimes, of course, yeah, but
sometimes kids go there just because they know they're gonna play right away, or you know, they look at the school. Okay, it's okay. It's not, maybe they don't like it. It's not like their first choice or second choice, but it is a school they can go to. If they're able to go to that school and actually play and play right away, or play a certain amount of minutes more than maybe what their expectations were, coach really believes in them, starting a program, those kind of things. I think you can never rule those type of things out. You should consider all that. So sometimes the coach does have is more important than the school, Nick. Sometimes I would say that's out there.
I know, but don't you think that you shouldn't look that as a huge factor?
It's part of it. I'd say it's part of it. What kind of percentage you put towards it, and how much percentage you put towards the location of the school, those are questions I think you have to ask yourself as the person that's actually going. But they all have to balance out at the end of the day, right? There's got to be some balance between them for all of them.
Well, it just seems to me in college sports that a coach recruits you. He gets you all fired up to come. I see you being my center fielder, or you're going to be my slot back. And then all of a sudden, boom, you're gone. You know what? I'm going to go with the rival down the road, and we're going to – well, wait a minute, coach. You're the one who recruited me. You better know that that school's pretty good, because you're going to be living there for about 4 years on the – and the coach might – I'm just saying, the coach
that's why
can be fired.
That's why I think that if a coach leaves, a kid should be granted – immediate transfer to another school if they desire.
Well, that would be the interesting one. Then coaches are going to, I mean, then schools are going to leave that coach there a little longer, aren't they? Because you could have, you're in your way, 20 kids just leave.
Well, you just make a decision like that, I mean, out of the blue. I mean, if a coach is recruiting you, they have a losing record, it's been a number of years, and maybe they just have one losing record, 1 year, 2 years. Well, there's a chance, depending on what kind of recruiting class. You got to look at who's coming in. Are they going to be able to make some impact here in a year or two to kind of prevent something like that from happening? I mean, there's a lot of things that go into that. I mean, look at recently at these schools. I mean, you've had schools, Cal, Washington State, USF, though just in the top of my head, that have changed their coaches here Cal Poly just hired a new coach over there on in the coast, and so there's a lot of kids that are sitting there right now wondering what's next. Who is this coach? Does this coach run the same offense that I was recruited for? And some kids have a better fit for a certain offense. So just because the school's good and they stay there, well, the coach coming in says, well, I don't really care about three-point shooters, or I run this style of offense and you don't fit, but they still honor your scholarship. Well, why would you want to stay there unless that's all you wanted to do? If most people that are playing sports want to play. They want to play. They don't want to sit there. So when they change things up, they should have the opportunity to move, and without any penalty at all, and to any other school they want to.
Well, let's talk about high school basketball, because you're the basketball guy. It's more of a – the zone is kind of a more of a – we lean on the basketball side because that's what Nick loves.
We love
but
everything.
Boys basketball, we got jobs opening. We got Buchanan, Edison, Hoover, McLean, and Washington Union. Those are the jobs that are open in boys basketball. I'm recommending for Buchanan, Gray Clark, the Clovis girls coach. On Edison's side, I like Jameer Chisholm from the Roosevelt team. I think he's a former Edison Tiger. I think Washington Union, I like Corey Fisher. We've had him before. The former Clovis boys basketball coach. Hoover, I'm undecided yet. McLean, I like Michael Davis Chazare, Dante's older brother. We know the Chazares. I recommend him for the job.
Yeah, those are all programs that I think are desirable, especially Edison. I don't know. I think last week we talked a little bit about Buchanan on Adam Walls. I mean, he's not – they haven't gotten any far with that yet, but you had kind of talked about him for that position.
Well, if Adam Walls isn't the coach by now, he ain't going to be the coach. So what's waiting so long?
So he's probably going to stay with the girls on the girls' side. So that brings that job open there. I don't know if Greg – you know, I talked to Greg – not too long ago, and he seemed to be happy, you know, even though he came down here to actually coach the boys' side, and he ended up coaching girls, and, you know, everybody kind of thought maybe he would gravitate back towards the boys' side, but talking to him at a couple of basketball games during the season, he had mentioned that he's pretty happy right now, but you always say what you say, and you never know what's going to happen the next day, so he is a good coach. I think he would do well if he stays where he's at or if he goes to Buchanan, but I would agree with you. But see, here's the deal, Nick. Clovis Unified doesn't like people moving around from high school to high school. George Petrosan's an example of that.
Hey, baseball updated before we get to Matt. I believe Matt's on the line. Top of the sixth. Central 5, Clovis West nothing. Trent Tompkins just went deep for the Central Grizzlies, and they're about to sweep the Clovis West Golden Eagles. I don't think that's happened in a long time. Matty J, are you on the line finally?
Yes, sir, I am. Live here from Clovis East High School for the Frost-Off West Coast Relays, and what a day it's been.
Well, it's about time you called in. We're only here until 5:30, but give us a quick update rundown. I know you're a busy boy out there.
Yeah.
You're raking sand traps and everything, but give us the updated version of track this year. How's the quality compared to, like, when Janet Prandini and all them were here? Well, we got a little wind.
We've got a little wind. Can you guys hear me okay? I'm trying to find a little windbreak here.
Right there. Perfect.
We good. Okay. We've got a real wide open race. There's no Jenna Prandinis. There's nobody actually in the state of California per se that's going to wake up the echoes of a Prandini, a Michael Norman who ran for Vista Murrieta, who's now one of the fastest men in the world in the 400 and the 200 meters. There's nothing like that. But I will say this, right on course, true to form for the Central Valley, we've got two of the best big men throwers, not only in the state, but in America, and that's in the down south, Liberty Bakersfield, Daniel Viveros, who is one of the top one or two in the state in the shot put, and of course Christian Johnson of Buchanan, who has a long line, the family of throwers. He's number two, one, or three in the state in the discus, and they're both great multi-events in both the discus and the shot put. There's a lot of great track going on in our valley, but you just compared the benchmark. That's obviously Jenna Prandini. There's not going to be anything like that, maybe ever. That's like saying, hey, when's the next Usain Bolt going to come down the line, or when's the next Jesse Owens going to hit? You know, that's not going to be happening probably in quite a while.
Well, so how about on the – let's go on the 100 meters real fast. Caleb Foster, the favorite, comes in running a 10.84. Is he the guy to beat from Clovis North?
He is, absolutely. Good call by you. Yeah, Caleb Foster, who comes from another line of great athletes. His dad, Robert Foster, the great All-American hurdler from Fresno State, a Jamaican national team member when he was coming up. Caleb Foster is without a doubt, you know, we're talking about Jenna Prandini, but he's about the best sprint jump guy, hurdle guy in the state. I mean, there's no question. He long jumps. He's one of the state leaders in the long jump. You mentioned his time in the 100 meter is right there at the top of the food chain. There's others around the state that are going to come get him. But for around here, he's the top of the food chain in the sprints, the hurdles, and the jumps. So you know what? Good call by you, Mr. Pagmeter, because he might be. What am I saying? He might be the guy. He's only a junior now, so he's still got another year. He might be the next great potential Olympian-type athlete in track and field to come out of our valley.
Hey, 200 meters. We got Nathan Scruggs at Clovis North, Xavier Worthy, and Jalen McMillan from Memorial. How are those guys?
Well, first let's start with Jalen McMillan. He's just a splendid. He'll be a Division I football player. Could probably play at any college football group in America. He's an outside wide receiver. He doesn't really appear like he trains much for track and field. It's just a little thing that he does on the side. Kind of a little bit like Kazmir Allen at Tulare Union. He's probably the best natural long strider of that entire group. But Nathan Scruggs, the transfer from Central to Clovis North, he rounds out that Clovis North team, which is most likely, in my opinion, at least for the boys for sure, I see them winning a section championship. And Nathan Scruggs is the straw that stirs the drink. He can run the one, the two. But like I said, I think Caleb Foster has the kind of ability. He could pick any one of those events and probably be on the medal stand for sure. So it's going to be a great race. Where are you getting your information? The Pagmeter talking track and field. This is unbelievable.
Matt, he's got his sources. Internet's amazing.
Before we go, before we let you go, I think you got to be more excited about the Pagmeter bash for the Lymphoma Cancer Society. Thank you to the Doghouse Crew. Are you excited for April 13th, though?
Are you kidding me? I feel like Rex Hudler. Are you kidding me right now? The first annual Pagmeter Spring Fling. I'm going to be there, Nick. You know I am. I'm going to have all my friends there.
I want you to dress up, Matt.
Hey, 300 people, and that's it. So we're going to have tickets coming out soon. It's going to be unbelievable night. So much. You don't have to wear a tie like this guy's coming in, but it's going to be fun. Matt, we got to go. Coming up next is Fresno State Baseball. Paul Leffler is going to have the action at San Diego State. I want to thank Nick Anderson, of course, Helena Agra Enterprises, LLC. I want to thank the Fieldhouse, Sir Jim Critchlow, Darren Williams. Thank you guys for a great show here at the Fieldhouse. Have a great weekend, everybody. You've been listening to 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader. As Matt says, get the game!